It's Tuesday, March 17th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. More than 100,000 people could lose Medicaid coverage in Indiana under a measure that passed in the most recent legislative session. Foreclosure rates have continued a gradual upward trend that began last year, according to new property data. And A True Presence, a documentary focused on Janois Wilson Brabson, the first woman firefighter in the Fort Wayne Fire Department, premieres Saturday at the Cinema Center. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. More than 100,000 people could lose Medicaid coverage in Indiana under a measure that passed in the most recent legislative session. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, that's according to an analysis done by the advocacy group Hoosier Action.
Republicans championed Senate Bill 1 as a legislative priority that would bring the state in line with work requirements and eligibility checks on welfare programs instituted at the federal level. Democrats argued the bill went further than the federal changes. Now, Tracy Hutchings Getz with Hoosier Action says a new analysis shows over 100,000 additional people are being cut from Indiana's Medicaid program because of the changes made by state Republicans. Hutchings Getz says the cuts won't save the state money.
We're really setting ourselves up for more expensive costs in the future by making our population poorer and sicker.
When reached for comment, a spokesperson with the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration said they didn't know how anyone could have an estimate. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Foreclosure rates have continued a gradual upward trend that began last year, according to new property data. WFYI's Zach Castle has more on Indiana's February foreclosure ranking from real estate data firm Adam.
Indiana has the worst foreclosure filing rate of all states, according to Adam, one in nearly 1,600 housing units. South Carolina and Florida have the next highest rates. Amy Nelson is with the Fair Housing Center of Central Indiana. She says more foreclosures limit the opportunity for local families to build generational wealth.
Far too often when these homes end up going into foreclosure, they end up being purchased by out-of-state investors, who then flip them into expensive rentals.
Indianapolis ranks third and Evansville fourth in foreclosure filings out of all metropolitan areas across the country with more than 200,000 residents. I'm Zach Castle in Indianapolis.
As of last week, Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency ATMs became illegal in the state of Indiana. As WNIN's Tim Jagalow tells us, the law is designed to protect individuals from financial scams.
There are more than 70 cryptocurrency ATMs in Evansville alone. This is where historically people could buy or send bitcoins at a kiosk just like an ATM at a convenience store. But not anymore as of March 10th. Evansville Police Department Sergeant Nathan Van Cleve says they're now illegal in Indiana because they've been used to defraud vulnerable people out of a lot of money.
The number of reports has doubled each year for the last 4 years, with a total over $400,000 in losses, with each individual loss an average of $11,000. So I've spoken with many victims of this crime.
There were even scams reported at this Evansville location. Van Cleve says such fraud costs victims more money than other scams, like gift cards or even digital money apps. In Evansville, I'm Tim Jagalow.
In honor of women who helped shape history, a documentary focused on Janois Wilson Brabson, the first woman firefighter in the Fort Wayne Fire Department, will premiere Saturday at the Cinema Center. Here, WBOY's Julia Meek discusses this trailblazing career path with Brabson and project coordinator Clydia Early in the lasting impact of her legacy.
Janois Brabson, Clydia Early, welcome.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Now, we first learned about your achievements in 2013, Janois, through actually Carol Butler's kids' bio, Janois Wilson, firefighter. She dared to be first. Honestly, dares and firsts seem to be your thing. Janoas, what compelled you to choose that particular career, the firefighting, at a time when women were not firefighters? And what specific aspects of community involvement did that drop you right in the middle of?
Well, when I first applied for the public safety position, they were handing out applications out at the campus at IU. I thought I was applying for the police department because, you know, it was a police officer that was handing them out. When I got into the interview, the police sergeant that interviewed me, he said, "I think you'll be better suited for dispatch 911. And I still didn't know they had put me with the fire department. But I think that captain made that decision.
Are you glad he did?
Yes.
The community is so good. Yes, that's right. Quite a surprise leap. And okay, Clytia, how did you first connect with Janoas? And how would you describe her larger-than-life presence?
Well, I first connected with Janoas through another firefighter, Anita Crusoe, and she came and talked with me in 2024 about putting a celebration and an event together for Janoas Brabson. Seeing her and meeting her and the other fire women, that other fire woman who thought that she was larger than life, it just happened. And I was hooked. I was in. Then we were putting together the celebration.
And Janoas, looking back to those early days, how much of a issue was it being the only woman, being the first woman?
Well, the men that were, I was in the academy, they were very kind to me, and we got along fine. And there were some little snags where people were not comfortable with having a woman around. The thing that I really liked about it was the fact that the firefighters were so well liked in the community. And I felt good to be a part of that.
Janoas helped pave the way during a time when it was a traditional male-dominated jobs in public safety. And here we are now with women that are fire chiefs, okay, paving the way.
Janoas, how were you able to bring it smack into the community that you were serving?
Well, I think the fact that at that time when I was first in the department working with the firefighters, we had a very large presence of women that were working with the PTA. And that group of people, they were so supportive of anything that would help children be safe, especially from dying from fires, house fires. I mean, they were my cheerleaders.
And you there, Shiro, and yes, yeah. and benefiting was, kids yeah. in the whole community,
it,
and therefore...
It worked.
Yes, amazingly so. And Clytia, now on to the documentary.
Yes.
What should we expect on drop day?
I would say expect something incredible. A piece of history from Fort Wayne that hasn't been told, interviews, people's lives, something that makes where we are a community. It just brings you in.
I think we're showing how a career, a profession, can be hard work along with the passion.
And the big love. Yes, I see. Yes. A community full of love.
Yes.
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 Janoas Brabson is a retired district chief for the Fort Wayne Fire Department, and Clytia Early, owner of BIPOCA Gallery and social activist. Thank you both for sharing the story with us. Many blessings.
Thank you, Julia.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
A True Presence opens Saturday at the Cinema Center. Find an extended version of this conversation at wboi.org/news. More news in a moment.
My name's Jody. I'm a longtime WBOI supporter. Sometimes the news is controlled by larger monetary forces and not necessarily the truth. I need to stay informed. I want to stay informed, learn about the world, learn about our local events, and also provide some lightness and some fun, provides relief from what can be hard to hear sometimes. Join me and countless others in protecting public radio. Learn how at wboi.org/save.
Here's what to know for today. Travel along State Road 930 or Coliseum Boulevard is about to become a bit more difficult beginning this week, as the heavily traveled artery will undergo some repairs and upgrades over the next few months. Health departments are warning about measles as spring break is now starting for local schools. And the Indianapolis International Airport is expecting a near record number of travelers this spring break. That's Who and What for Tuesday, March 17th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.